Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode 437 of the podcast.
Point two.
This is the Thoughtercade. We are excited for y'all to be here and joining us for a Saturday.
On the new Facebook page, man.
Yeah. We finally have our own official Facebook page.
Yes. It took some time. We've just been using Elijah's Facebook page, for those of you who noticed. Yeah. But now we have our own. So Austin, welcome to the page. Invite some people. Show us some love. We like that.
Yeah. Keep helping us grow our audience and stuff. And if you can't, if you can't watch now, you can just watch later on Facebook or on YouTube, or you can listen later on, wherever you listen to podcasts and stuff. So,
yeah. And you can post stuff on our Facebook. So if you all like see a stupid Florida Man article or whatever y'all want us to check out, we'll definitely look at it. So, you know, post, give us feedback. It's a great place to, you know, talk about extra stuff. I'll be on it quite a lot.
For sure.
So really excited. Sure. I'm still petitioning Mark Zuckerberg to get our blue check mark so we can become official.
Yeah, we need so many official things, and we need sponsors, and we need, like, we're pretty much doing this bare bones right now.
I know. Mountain Dew still hasn't replied back to me. I did reach out to them via, I have Instagram.
Yeah.
I reached out to them on Instagram a long time ago. They haven't reached back.
I'd really like to Red set Bull, up.
You have a chance.
Oh, okay? Dude. Yes. You
know, drinking your Arctic berry. I didn't know the Arctic had berries.
Like, wouldn't you like to see this, like, all this, just like a Mountain Dew, just a Mountain Dew creation, like a big old, like I could buy like a thing from Target.
Full of Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
What they do at like HEB or whatever, where they make like
just a big old display of gamer fuel behind me, dude. Like, that would be sick. Yeah. For sure. Yes. Well, first, I want to get y'all's opinion on a segment we can call bad boys, what you gonna do? Because recently, I think it was just this last week, Tiger King's husband was caught drinking and driving or something in Austin, like here in Austin. And it's just like, I don't know. I didn't watch the show. I watched it when Val was watching it, like off and on. And
I
that's like
that portion of the quarantine, though, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've watched it. Quarantine's like coming full circle now, and they're getting drunk in Austin.
First off, which one? Do you have a picture of the one?
Of the husband. Which husband? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he had Joe Exotic had several. He had He had two.
What?
And he got, and then one of them accidentally killed himself with a gun.
Oh, jeez.
That made me to laugh.
I was like, damn, okay.
No, accidentally.
And then the second one divorced him when he went to, or no, divorced him, and then he got married to a third guy who was actually, who was gay, I think. I think the one of the first two wasn't actually. I think he came out and said he wasn't actually gay at the end of the series or something.
Wait,
or
what? It was all just a publicity stunt or what?
It was this whole thing. But yeah, which one?
So I think it's saying Dylan Passage.
Okay, so that's, I guess, his recent, well, like his current.
His husband. Current, yeah.
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was the actual like Tiger King guy. It's himself, but
he's in jail. He'll be in jail for a long time.
Wait, Joe Exotic's in jail?
Yeah.
What?
He got convicted for, I think it was hiring a hitman to get Carol Baskins. Oh. Yo, y'all should have watched it when the motion came.
I should have.
Because this I understand like the trailer and everything kind of depicted as like just going over this super exotic guy and his tigers. No. There's a lot more to the story.
I know
that's like, the thing. Like,
to get Carol Baskin. Carol Baskin killed her husband to a tiger.
Jeez. Well, that's the thing. I remember seeing that. Oh, hold on one sec. There you go. I remember seeing.
Didn't they bring out like bloodhounds or something recently, like to find the husband's body?
So yeah. So apparently, like there's been a case. There was a case originally to bring forth to get Carol Baskin's put away for killing her husband, her previous husband, beating him to a tiger. But they weren't able to find any definitive proof at all, so it was closed. And then the case opened back up when Tiger King came out because all the evidence, or like everything in the series, made her look super sketch, which definitely killed her husband or previous husband. I'd bet money on it. And so the case is reopened. I think it's going to get closed again or something. It may have just been reopened temporarily or whatever, but case got reopened. Funny thing though is her current husband, he's a lawyer, so I think she'll always be fine. But like they're a super weird couple because they'll take pictures of her with holding a leash, and at the end of the leash is her husband on his like knees.
Jeez. I think about how, okay, so it took me, let's see, when did I like middle school until, so like 15 plus years to find a relationship with Val, right? And Joe Exotic's got three marriages, and then this Carol Baskin's lady. Like, I question if these people ever really find love, but then they do, and I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna go off on a limb and say everybody, I think the people that marry Joe Exotic are doing it more for like the clout. They're clout chasers.
The clout chasers.
Yeah, for real.
Sorry, I'm using a term. We have to stay up with these, like.
We do. We got to stay with our young audience.
I have to say clout so they understand. But yeah, I think they were just kind of clout chasing or using Joe Exotic as like an escape for their own personal life. Because a lot of the people that he hired, which I do give him credit for that, a lot of the people he hired on his Tiger's Do or whatever you want to call it, his Tiger Escape or whatever, and they were, you know, kind of struggling in life where they were at. So he did bring them on and give them, you know, something, a life. He didn't pay them very well, but he did at least give them, you know, an option to
gave them something. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
They're crazy.
What is he doing in Austin? Aren't they from Oklahoma?
I thought so. I don't really know why. I was just like, oh, figures. You know, like these people are crazy. Getting
crazy
drunk,
is an understatement.
I don't need him to bring his crazy into Austin, though. Like,
I know. Yeah. Austin's already weird. We don't need to make it that kind of weird.
Yeah,
just
keep it in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Keep Oklahoma inside Oklahoma first. Let's start
That's
there.
That's so true.
You know, as someone who had to go to Oklahoma for a family vacation, you know, let's keep Oklahoma in Oklahoma.
Where'd you go to Oklahoma on a family vacation?
I went to a like a cabin, and it's near some lake.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember the name of it.
That's cool, but I was just like, what other fun things are in? No diss to Oklahoma.
That was it, though.
Like,
it was like,
have anybody recommend Oklahoma as a vacation destination?
That's the only place I would recommend. If you like into nature and stuff like that, this is a really great place. You can rent out cabins and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, we rented out a cabin that was for like 15, 20 people. So it was a pretty big cabin, and it had all the amenities and stuff, but it was right next to a lake. So we did like a lot of hiking, swimming, stuff like that. But like the town itself, I think it had like a really, really small casino, and then like a bank. I assumed that was probably funded by the casino, and like a McDonald's. That was it.
That was the only place to eat was McDonald's.
We went to like a grocery store and bought like food for the week. Because we thought it would be cheaper. We were wrong.
Oh, you either go to McDonald's or hunt for your own food.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't recommend Oklahoma, though.
Oklahoma doesn't have like internet. Like everyone I've talked to just doesn't. Like I have some customers, I guess, where I work, and they just don't have internet. They only do things through snail mail, and they like don't, they barely know how to use like a cell phone.
That's so old school.
Yeah. I'm sure there's not everybody in Oklahoma, but it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to go. Something keeping me there. But actually, another bad boy is your boy Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne.
What'd he do?
What's the F standing for this time?
Well, he actually got like, I guess he had the hearing for something that happened like way back, like, I don't know, like 10 months ago or something like that. And if convicted on like a gun possession charge, he could face like 10 years in prison again. Yeah.
Like, yeah, he already got convicted for a gun possession, I'm pretty sure.
Well, he got charged for it, but now he has to be convicted for it, evidently.
Oh, it's the same gun possession charge?
I think so, yeah. It's from, like, months ago. It's just now coming to light, or I guess, like, they've charged him, and now if he's convicted, he could face another, like, 10 years in prison. And what my question to you guys is, can you even be a rapper if you can't have guns?
Exactly. Like Eminem stated, you know, in the one where he has the oh my God, I'm completely blanking on that, on the song where he's like talking about them toting pistols because they think this stuff's cool, you know? Like they have to. It's like a requirement.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Well, you're talking about like an actual like lyricist in Eminem. I'm talking about like
I don't think so, I'm gonna go out on limb, and I know you older folk may not understand, but Tekashi 6ix9ine, I don't think he carried a gun. He's always had his like security and whatnot, and especially God. Now since he's a snitch, he can't really carry, and just got out. Dang. You know, he can't really carry anything, so he probably like he still raps.
What are you gonna rap about? Like what do you rap about then, you know? Not killing
dude,
people.
Tekashi 6ix9ine legit went onto the Breakfast Club, which is this huge like huge radio station or talk show with who I love listening to, Charlamagne the God. He went on the Breakfast Club and he was like, I don't even know what I'm rapping about half the time. He didn't say that, but he was like, this doesn't even make sense to me or something to that extent, to where like I just released it and people like it, you know?
Oh my God.
It's like when Rihanna said that you know, like sometimes her lyrics make her cry, but she like only said like the work song.
Yeah, I know.
Like she said she cried writing it, and like half the songs are like, it's so stupid.
I know. We always make fun of that.
I love that song by Rihanna. That was a good song.
We're like just writing down.
I hate
like, work.
The reason why work, I hate it work, though is when I used to work at a bank, and I just moved into the operations department. We had this like assistant manager lady, and she played that song every Friday.
Oh,
like
how it gets
the whole shift, like she wouldn't shut up.
And it's not about like actual working, right? It's like about doing other kind of work. So it's not like a work playlist.
It's about making love.
Oh right.
Yeah. I assume. I don't know. I don't know what Rihanna sings.
Drake is on that. Drake is on that song, and I like his bars. I like his verse.
Drake is cool, man. I mean, I wish we had the old Drake, but you know.
I know.
I want Marvin's. I want Marvin's Room Drake.
I want the emotional Drake.
Like headlines.
I want the one Drake that tells the deadlift it's alive. I want that Drake.
Yeah.
And I miss those Drake memes. Not this two cheeks wide Drake guy.
Like, that's
I don't
right,
know who he
I'm
is.
Doing me. Like that kind of Drake, man. That's Drake, man.
So Drake before was the type of guy who would sit there with you and go with your and cry with you. The Drake now is just like, oh, you're feeling sad? Just cheer up.
Not even, dude. He's like he's making better versions of all the like that stuff. Like that's
he
what he's doing.
He did a song, I think a song with like an Arabic verse pretty recently.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was like actual Arabic language and I saw this on TikTok because a bunch of like Arabic families were reacting to it, like they had like the older generation, their parents react to it,
yeah,
and their parents were like shocked because it actually sounded good.
Heard shout out to him.
Who knew?
Have y'all ever heard French rap?
No.
Oh dude,
talk about like taking something and making it like a Dollar General store brand. it's
like,
French rap.
It's like the Hallmark movie of rap.
I feel like the French.
It's not even like that. Like they try to be like hardcore and stuff. I was in a Western Civ class. It was like toward the end of it, and like our teacher, like she already taught everything. She didn't really care. So like the last two things, and she has like a doctorate in like a bunch of French studies and stuff. And so she was talking about French rap, and like I think like one of them like mentions Tony Parker, the basketball player.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he helps produce some of that stuff. and I was listening to it. It's French.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. I don't know how the French people do
you
it.
You can't, like, make the French language sound aggressive. There are languages that sound good when you rap, like English.
Give me a beat, dude. Give me a beat.
No.
UK grime rap, like the UK rap sounds really good. Russian rap, I've listened to a few tracks there. It's
on their language.
Russian rap, just think about it. DD's track speech, probably, right?
Yeah. That's exactly it. Like, French is in a language that, like, it's a super, like, romantic language where it's really, like, elegant in the way you speak. So I don't see, like, its elegance in the actual language being used properly in, like, rap.
It's like a lot
of
harsh throat
noises. It's also real popular in Algeria, which was a French colony back in the day. So Algerians speak French. Yeah. So, like, French rap, and then it has a subgenre of, like, Algerian French rap.
Oh, my God.
And they try to think about the same stuff that, like, American rap talks about, like, a lot of, like, coming up from nothing, mm-hmm. you know.
Which is, like, that's
stuff
cool.
like that. Which is, it's respectable, but I'm just like, it's French. Like, half the words you're pronouncing, you can't even spell them, you know.
Can they rhyme together, too?
They do, yeah.
They rhyme? Yeah. Well, they
yeah.
It's poetry in motion, dude. I'm just telling you, dude.
Like, legit poetry in motion.
Drop me
French.
A beat, and I'll just rap about omelette du fromage, dude.
Oh my god!
You know,
is that from Dexter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, I'm sure there's been like a I'm
Dexter's
like
Laboratory.
Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah, Dexter's Laboratory.
He like whispers into someone's ear, I think.
Oh, that's yeah. Oh yeah, that meme where he's like, say it again or whatever,
yes.
Or say it in your accent. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, French are weird. Although I do have good respect for the French Foreign Legion. I think they're pretty cool. That's about it, though.
There's Elijah's firsthand opinion on the French.
on the French Legion.
All our French listeners, don't get mad. So there's this article I came across. It was on CNN, and I just like cruise the internet for news stories at work, right? Because I'm bored and stuff. And this headline is, dinosaurs would have continued to thrive had it not been wiped out by the asteroid, research says. And I'm like,
no way.
No
wow.
crap, dude.
Yeah, no way.
I'm like, that's great research, guys. Is that what we're researching nowadays?
Well, I saw an article from God, what was it? Was it New York Times or the Washington Post? One of those. And it was like, it talked about how like Ivanka Trump like blamed a fart in middle school on like one of her classmates.
Nice.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. Like, that's the degree of journalism we have in this country. It's fucking sad.
That's like actually, that's, I mean, if you're blaming a fart on, I mean, that's actually evil. To blame a fart on somebody
I guess
else.
So.
It's imposter. Among Us. That's that Among Us. He's the imposter.
And it got like a whole bunch of backlash, and rightly so, because that's not journalism. That's just not. Fucking stupid. I couldn't believe this was published. Like, an editor who probably gets paid a lot of money sat down and read this story in this line and was like, dude, I love this. Let's
I know.
Put it up.
Like, who said on this article is like, oh, you know what? You're right. Dinosaurs could have lived longer if the asteroid didn't hit. Dude,
yeah.
put that shit up online.
Dude,
it's like, no.
Yeah. They're like, yo, this is fire. This is trendworthy. It's so stupid.
It's almost like telling someone, hey, if you don't eat, you will get hungry.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Unless you're a breatharian.
A breatharian.
Don't start with that nonsense.
Wait, what's that a thing, dude?
Yeah, breatharian is someone who believes they get all living essence by just breathing. So they don't need to eat or drink water or any of that stuff.
Jeez.
They don't need to do life substances outside of breathing.
See, that's science denial right there. Yo,
that's a whole different like spirituality.
Level. Oh yeah.
Like I'm gonna write an article on our Facebook page, and it's gonna say Mountain Dew could have tasted bad if they put in the wrong ingredients. That's what I'm gonna write.
Mountain Dew could have tasted less sweet if they added less sugar.
Exactly. There you go. Like, dude, Mountain Dew. Come on, Mountain Dew. We're just Mountain asking for it, man.
We're like, reaching out to like 16 people, dude. Come on.
I know.
We'll be here eventually.
Come on, dude. Come on. Yeah, that was So I just
but yeah, like that just shows like what the degree of like it wasn't from The Onion or anything, right? Like it wasn't from a satire, it's from like an actual news platform.
It's like on CNN, like on one of the
oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, dude, probably like 10 years ago, I actually like respected CNN and like whenever the Charlie Hebdo attacks and stuff like that came on and I like
mm-hmm.
got reinvested in like global affairs and stuff after college.
Yeah.
Like I turned to CNN, like read articles, like they were good.
Yeah.
And now they publish stuff like this.
Dude, I don't know. And like, old school, like the news is all just trash. Elijah and I actually had a conversation on his wedding weekend as we were like driving around is that because the news is so trash because of the fact that like they always they'll put you in a panic first thing.
Yeah.
Breaking news, volcano is about to erupt, the whole world is about to get destroyed in 2 seconds. Better buy everything you need. Like what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
and then like also, deep at the end of the article, it's like, and that could happen in the next 2 billion years. It's like,
yeah,
oh, God.
Yeah, it'll say like JK. No, I'm just kidding.
JK, yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
yeah.
It's always like an extremist point of view, too. Like, it's always very, like, very, it's always one way. Like, there's
like,
never
there's
any,
no,
like,
yeah, like, there's no, not even like a middle ground. There's no, like, an unbiased reporting that. So, there's a really good article or like a series of like a thesis that was put out by the former director of the National Park Service, and he talks about interpretation. And the interpretation, like if you're at a museum, like say the Smithsonian, you go to an exhibit and you read the information provided and you look at whatever it is, it's up to you, the audience, to interpret what it is.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
like as I'm reading like these sort of like ethical guidelines for being like a tour guide,
mm-hmm.
It kind of reverts back to my, not like my training, but like my school days of history writing, where you want to approach it from an unbiased sort of thing, where you present what you interpret as the facts or the events that happened, and then the audience is one who interprets the information and says, okay, this is how I see it,
yep.
And they go about their day. So, like, whenever we're talking about the kamikaze attack on the ship, we don't say anything mean about the kamikaze, you know, especially if you're talking to children, where you don't want to, like, glorify warfare or anything like that or violence.
Yeah. Right.
And in the same instance of, like, you don't talk about how the crew of the ship admirably performed their duty or, like, they heroically stepped up. It's up to the audience to interpret that information.
Oh,
it's not up to
dang.
You telling the story.
So you tell it just as a complete unbiased.
So I just tell it as, you know, this is what happened on this date. This is what we believe happened. And this is the information that we have. And it's provided to you. And, like, a lot of the questions that come from, like, kids and stuff are, like, what's, like, why would Japan do something like a kamikaze? Mm-hmm. And really the only thing you could provide back is they just have a different way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Americans, we don't go out to go die, you know,
right.
Like that's just not an American way of thinking. But in Japan, sacrifice is a huge part of that culture, especially in the 30s and 40s. You know, it was perverted to an extent, but that's what it is. So whenever you like, you're reading the news and stuff nowadays, it's all presented from what me and Chris talked about. It's always from one point or the other of the scale. It's never like an unbiased sort of reporting of like, hey, here's the volcano, it's exploding, here's what to expect, you know, and then have the audience interpret that information and do with what they want.
Right.
And to go off of that, it almost gets to the point where it forces you to think in one way or another. Like it doesn't, like Elijah said, it always should be your judgment on the intention, not the actual act.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, it's like they're acting as if you should follow their lead, listen to them, hear what they have to say, rather than them giving the information like Elijah would do on his tour, and you taking that intention for what it is. So I listened to this great comedian, Andrew Schultz. He's my favorite comedian. I mentioned his podcast all the time. Elijah's listened to it, Flagrant too. He's a comedian, and I like getting my news from, or like I like hearing perspectives from these comedians, just because in a comedian's head, their whole life is based on building judgment off of intention and not the act. So they're always constantly poking holes in arguments and like seeing the intention for what it is, seeing their own interpretation rather than saying, hey, this is how it was. I want you to think this way. This is how you should think. They're just saying, well, he intended to do that. That's not what I gathered from the information. That what I see as intention is this here, you know?
Yeah, it brings it to the philosophical school of thought of Immanuel Kant, who was a Prussian philosophical writer.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole thesis was you judge the action that's performed. You don't judge the intent of the action.
Right, yeah.
Which it garners a lot of things, but like if you're judging the action of a murder and not the intent of a murder, is it a murder? You know, so it opens up to that sort of questioning. Yep. But like that should be what, you know, any sort of information source, even, you know, down to the stupid stuff like Wikipedia, has to do. And they have to present this information as an unbiased point of view, because that's what they're for. That's like you're there to gather information and interpret it with what you want with that information.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a challenge, or at least it was a challenge for me, was to like not just be like a sheep, like reading these articles and taking them. Like if you're not thinking the way that we're talking about here, you just kind of read them and you ingest the intent of the story and not just the facts of the story. So you just follow along whatever type of narrative is told in the story, and it's been like a challenge, but also kind of like a beneficial challenge to like actually think for yourself with the context of whatever you're reading. So I'll just read whatever like crap I can read at work, and then I'll just be like, okay, I'm gonna take away like what's real from that, and then I'm gonna like make my own thing. And I think it's a cool thought experiment. It's just hard to do that sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that's what the issue is with, at least when I was going to school, and I'm talking like middle school or elementary school, middle school, high school, is that the thought process there is they're providing the facts and this is what you need to do and this is how it happens, rather than them providing information and you build your, like English classes actually did it well for me, is that they would provide information and they would give you that kind of freedom to be creative with what the intention at the end is. But all like everything else, like history classes is a big thing that I feel like that should happen. They provide, like you would do on your tour, Elijah, is that they should give you the information. You base your intention off of that information. But obviously in history classes, in my history classes, they're always so stern. This is the facts. This is how it happened. You shouldn't think any other way. You know, we bombed Pearl Harbor, or Pearl Harbor was bombed. Done deal. That's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it also, it negates like the critical thinking and the creative thinking that you're taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
So you're losing all of these critical thinking skills whenever you're creating a vacuum of the same sort of message being repeated when it's from either side. So that's the thing I see a lot of, is I try to get sources from both sides so I don't create an echo chamber for myself. And I see, you know, like from a classical liberal point of view, you know, something like a liberal of like JFK era would see something, you know, all the way down to, you know, what would Ben Shapiro or someone like him think? Just because it helps create what you're taught to do, which is critical thinking, deduce a problem and analyze it. Especially in history, whenever you're presented with these, you know, big complex problems within society or economics or something like that, it helps provide that critical thinking structure that's necessary. So whenever you go out into society to become a functioning member, you know how to deduce information.
Yeah,
I think that's cool that you are taught, and you're also like doing this on your at your job now. I didn't like that's really cool that you're coming across as just like the facts and stuff. It's like, it's beneficial for you because you're actually doing a good thing for the other person. But the next thing that came to my mind was it's insulting to transpose a certain way of feeling and thought onto somebody else without them having the opportunity to come to their own conclusion. So it's like, it's good
like
for
imagine
you.
Imagine if you're given a tour of the ship and it's a World War II memorial. And so like, if you had say like a Japanese family come, mm-hmm. you know, and you're giving the tour out and he's talking about how horrible the Japanese were,
right.
which I mean, they were read stuff like the Rape of Nanking, really great insider of what the Japanese did. No one blames them for anything like they did for Germany.
Right.
But if you're going there and like Japanese family's there and you're just talking trash about them the whole time, they're not gonna like their experience is like, wow, Americans hate us.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
When it's not the case. Japan, you're cool.
Yeah, Japan's cool.
You know, anime, instant ramen,
Nintendo. Oh my gosh,
Nintendo!
Like, so many good things coming out of Japan.
And that's actually the beautiful part of it is that we're able to create kind of our own impression about like other cultures as they are to us as well. And I know some countries may not see Americans as ideal. Some may, you know, it just kind of depends. It kind of varies, you know. But it's just cool and it's nice that everybody has that kind of perspective and freedom to be able to have their own thoughts. And I think now more than ever with everything that's going on, it's coming out that you can think how you want to think, you know. You have that freedom to be who you want to be, you know.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy, man. I brought up a dinosaur article and y'all really made it happen, man. Dang. That's why we do this, man. That's why we do it, though.
Whew. That's why we're the Thought Arcade.
That's why we
like,
do.
Like, I would suggest not getting our actual news from us because we're gonna give you our opinion of it.
That's
know?
True. Yeah, we are.
But we're
like,
also gonna tell
biased.
You if your opinion's garbage.
Like, yeah. Yeah, we're not coming out saying like everything we say is, you know, like we're gonna give our spin on it and try to give you like real stuff.
We're fact checking the fact checkers.
That's true.
I'll be the first one to say is I'm not quite sure, but. What I heard.
And y'all can totally fact check. Hey, we got Antonio up in here. What's up, dude?
Yeah.
There he is.
There he is. So, next segment. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, dude. All of these are movies. Should we... Mm-hmm. So, we always talk about sequels and whether we need these things or not, right? So...
Yeah.
There's talks of... the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Them coming out with a sequel. What are your thoughts? Because I'm like, dude, that thing was fine by itself, dude.
I was just about to say, for my own selfish gain, like if they were to personally just mail me a sequel and just be like, mm-hmm. here's the sequel and not release, no one's ever going to see it, then I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
But I personally think they should just leave it as be. Like the way from start to finish, that movie hit me emotionally.
Yeah.
Like I think anything from this point will go downhill. And I don't want it to impact the kind of legacy that film is leaving. Because it hits like some deep issues.
But it made $1 billion.
Like there's no way to write a second storyline with dealing with the same sort of stuff. And it leaves you on that crazy cliffhanger, like, is he in the insane asylum or whatever? You know?
Yeah.
Or did he just dream it all up? Like it's spoilers, by the way, but if you haven't seen it, you're late.
I mean, that's like 2018, 19? Yeah, 2019.
2019?
Something like that.
I think.
Last year.
Yeah. But no, I think it's a great standalone. Like, the only sequel that ever should have happened was Terminator 2.
Ever?
What?
Ever.
What?
So, okay, hold on. So you're saying
maybe
that...
Shrek 2.
Oh, no, okay. Definitely Shrek 2. Come on, Shrek 2 is good. But Shrek the third? No.
What's another movie that had a good sequel that...
All right.
Batman. The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight, definitely. Okay. Guardians
Dark
of the Galaxy
Knight.
2.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay.
Avengers. We obviously needed, it may not have been good, but we needed...
I don't count those as sequels, though. Those are...
That's
like
a
TV
show.
Well, no, I'm talking about one continuous story.
So I'm talking about from the Infinity War to Endgame.
I'm going to just type... I can't think right now. I'm just going to type in best sequels.
Terminator 2 is gonna be on that list though.
You know, oh, yeah, you definitely. Know what I do wish would happen on top of sequels?
Huh.
I really, and this is because it is my favorite, all time favorite Disney movie. I really want a sequel of A Nightmare Before Christmas. Just cuts.
No.
Dude, let's do it. Let's do it. Why not, dude?
They'll ruin it.
Yeah, they'll ruin it. That's why. Like, it's been too long.
I'm telling you, sequels are not good.
Most of the time, sequels
like,
are not
like, right. What about Ghostbusters 2? Does anybody even remember the plot of Ghostbusters 2? No.
I'll be honest, it's a bad movie. It's just a rehash. I barely remember the plot for Ghostbusters 1. So.
Toy Story 2 was pretty good.
There's a point where they did go downhill, I think. I think Toy Story 3 was average, but then Toy Story 4 and 5 were actually, like, hit you emotionally.
There's a fifth one?
Oh, no, just four. There's just four.
Oh, it's just four?
Okay, all right. Elijah's got to agree with me on this one. Lord of the Rings. The Two Towers. You can't say
that.
That's
a sequel.
It is a sequel.
That's a telling of... That's a whole... That's a whole story arc.
That's a sequel story. That's a story sequel, bro.
It's not a sequel story.
Yeah, bro. It's the second book.
When Tolkien wrote, he wrote all three books simultaneously. Like, he wrote all three. He didn't just write Lord of the Rings. Oh, it's great. Now I'm going to write Two Towers.
I know,
he
but...
wrote start to finish and broke them up into three books.
I know, but that's the sequel. Or The Hobbit is a sequel then. Just kidding.
Hobbit is a prequel.
Oh, yeah. No. The Conjuring,
The Hobbit series is worse... Did the Lord of the Rings series, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
I think Peter Jackson went off the rails with the CGI and all that stuff.
Funny thing is I've seen The Hobbit 1 and 2, still have yet to see Lord of the Rings.
Oh jeez, I know.
Well, December's coming up, so you better watch it.
Yeah, I need to.
I'm watching them, as I do every Christmas.
Harry Potter.
Oh.
It's all continuous story arc. Like, those movies were supposed to happen. Those books were supposed to happen.
But each story has a different theme to it. Yeah. And the books were not written simultaneously. They were done when J.K. Rowling did them one after the other.
Yeah, she
did. I've never read Harry Potter because I'm not sacrilege, so.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not the point of the question. Don't deflect here, okay?
So another sequel.
And then she's retconning a bunch of stuff afterwards. It's not a good thing.
I'm not down with that. There's another sequel and this is all. So, do y'all remember Constantine with Keanu Reeves?
I've never seen it.
I need to rewatch it. Everyone keeps hyping it up lately.
Yeah, there's like
a really good movie.
Cult,
but I remember watching it was kind of weird. I guess I didn't understand it.
It's cool. Like, he's a weird, like, demon hunter dude or whatever. And it's actually a really cool movie. They're working on a sequel for that one. Another one.
I feel like they've always been working on a sequel for that one, though.
Right. And I think they're actually casting Keanu as the comeback and everything. Like, it's gonna happen, and that'd be really cool. But, you know,
they had a really good interpretation of the devil in that movie.
Right.
I liked how he, whatever it was, was portrayed.
Yeah,
they
and the angels.
Zay Zim is what I've heard lately. Zay Zim.
Tom and Jerry movie.
No.
Did y'all see this?
No.
Oh man.
No.
It's happening. There's a trailer and everything.
No. Stop.
Wait. Live action.
Yeah. It's like it's not a live. It's Roger Rabbit style. So animation in live action.
Okay.
So they go into New York and stuff.
That's kind of cool, but no, I wouldn't.
You should
Tom
see
and
the
Jerry,
trailer.
Tom and Jerry
died. Have you ever seen the last episode? It's dark.
Really?
No.
Yeah,
I'm
the last
not.
Episode of Tom and Jerry is where they're sitting on the train and that meme of like Jerry with the or Tom with
the tired eyes.
Yeah.
Oh God, no, I'm not.
Yeah,
watching
they both get rejected by like the significant other that they love or whatever, and they go and sit on the train tracks, and you hear a train whistle coming.
Oh,
that's the last episode. Like, that's a real episode.
That's how
they're
dead. That's how they go,
dude.
After
I
all
love
that
Tom
they've
and
been
Jerry,
through,
dude. I would
I love
prefer
Tom
them
and Jerry
not to
saying.
Do a movie.
I no,
dude. I so HBO Max has this like, oh, dude. They have the lineup of Saturday morning cartoons from Tom and Jerry to like the Flintstones to the Jetsons. What Yogi
Bear? Have you
Bear?
Ever heard of the theory that the Jetsons and Flintstones are the same?
Oh yeah, they're like in a movie and stuff.
Yeah,
Yeah, like the Jetsons are up and futuristic, but like down is like the Flintstones like and stuff, but they're all real life. Like
they had a
crossover episode.
Yeah, there
it's
is.
A crossover like movie too, yeah. Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
dude, I love those crossover episodes.
I love me some of those cartoons, man. Like there's nothing wrong with those things. I plan on not having Disney, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, and just having like Boomerang or whatever, and that just showing that to my kids. Like I don't need them to watch any of this new crap. All they need to do is watch some Jetsons, watch some Flintstones, and they'll be just fine.
Tom and Jerry, Merry Melodies. That's all you need to watch.
The Jetsons, the Flintstones. Oh, there's some older stuff newer than that stuff that I would watch, like the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Animaniacs. Those are awesome. I don't know. Animaniacs, that one was a little too weird for me. It was just weird. They were always hitting on the nurse, dude. It was like sexual harassment.
So
okay, Brock.
This new Tom and Jerry movie has Michael Peña, and it has Chloe Grace Moretz in it.
She's okay.
Too. She's okay. Like it looks kind of lame. I'm gonna be honest.
It's gonna be lame.
If y'all see the trailer,
it's not gonna be like Sonic. It's gonna be lame.
Sonic did
with what they could, and they made it successful.
Oh, Sonic.
I liked Sonic. I really liked how they got bullied into changing how he looked.
I think that was for the best, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a bully. It was like the Snyder Cut, you know, like, yeah. We demand that we...
Yeah,
it was kind of bully.
But I would prefer them not to remake any of that, like, Boomerang stuff, just because I have such a happy memory.
Yeah.
With
right,
them.
Dude.
And like I have such a positive like mentality when I think about those things. Like, don't bring something garbage into it.
Yeah.
Because that is gonna taint it for me. Cause then I'm gonna think like with Sonic now, I love Sonic. Then the trailer came out, Trash Sonic. That's what I call him. The blue trash panda.
Trash panda, dude.
And nice. Now when I think Sonic, I like that's the first thing that comes to mind is that before they had a trash Sonic and now we had to bully them into making like a new Sonic. And like I don't want to have that thought, but that's a thought that comes to mind whenever I think about Sonic now.
Is it like how Cats was done?
Like how Cats was done? Oh, dude,
that looked disturbing. I'm
Cats
really disappointed
scary,
Idris
man.
Elba was
that
in
was
it,
a
man.
$90 million film, by the way.
They had like
and they
everyone
grossed back
in that
like
movie.
10. So
yeah. Yeah, they had legit like the star-studded everything. They had the whole Oscars in that movie, dude.
Yeah, jeez. They had everybody, and it still struggled. It just made me uncomfortable. I didn't watch it. I just watched the trailers, but I was like, this is uncomfortable.
It's like the meme, like literally nobody, and then they came out with that movie. You know, like no one wanted that movie, dude.
Yeah.
No one asked for that, but they gave it to us anyway. So one of the big shoulda, woulda, couldas is Wonder Woman 1984. That thing was supposed to come out like in April or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's been pushed back. It's been pushed back because of COVID-19, all that stuff, right? They are finally, I think they just finally were like, you know what? F it. We're going to put it on HBO Max and release it in theaters on Christmas Day. So my question to you guys is, should they have done that? Like, should they have put it on HBO Max? Because this thing is, like, huge. This thing is, like, supposed to be, like, multi-million-dollar box office. And
well, it's supposed to be a big box office, but you're bleeding money every day you're not making money.
Exactly.
So every day it's not in theaters or on HBO Max getting money and getting viewership, you're losing that much more money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have a store, and the day that you're closed, you're making $0.
And the thing is they're not doing what Mulan did, which was add a $30 premium onto the subscription. You can just watch. You don't have to pay anything
additional.
Yeah,
I think that's good on them.
I mean,
I think that'll help draw more membership to HBO Max than what like Mulan did.
Yeah.
Because I know Val wanted to see Mulan, and but we weren't going to pay the $30, so we never did.
So you had
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
But I also
justify...
heard that movie's like complete garbage. So
yeah,
it's a good thing.
I didn't get to watch it. I was waiting until it was done with its little premium period and whatever, where it was just going to be on. And yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but
yeah,
I kind of forgot about it. I couldn't
justify like dropping that $30. Oh, like if they would have done it like HBO Max is doing it with Wonder Woman, then I would have been fine. But like, I wouldn't, if I were to go see Mulan in theaters, I wouldn't have paid $30. Like for my ticket, I probably would have paid maybe $10. If I got a snack and a drink, I probably would have been paid more, but I usually eat before I go to the movie. So it's $10 to $15 ticket. Like that's smart. And now I'm doubling.
If you got your Cinemark membership, 20% off. Oh,
snap.
Or you could use your one free movie ticket that rolls over.
So, there you go. And then at that point, you're not even, spending money.
Yeah. You're not even spending money. Yeah.
But you're going from not spending money to using a free ticket to now spending $30. That's a turnoff for many people. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
All three of us, we were just all like, eh.
No. Yeah.
Especially in a time when, you know, most people don't have a job.
Yeah. Right. Also that, like, I don't think it was a very smart idea what they did with Mulan, but going back to Wonder Woman, if I'm going to be honest, I think they should have done it sooner. I think the way they're doing it now is good. Like, release it on HBO Max and in theaters, because people are trying to, you know, maintain their sanity. They're going to go out to theaters. If you go out to theaters, wear face masks, please. But they are still going out to theaters. If they would release it sooner, I feel like that hype they had from the DC Con event that we watched.
Right.
I feel like they would have built off that hype, just release it. They could have, what I think would have been a good idea is they secretly release it at the end of it. And then just that's it. You know, how dope would that have been?
That would have been dope.
I think that would have been a good move. I agree with you. They waited too long to release it.
And it's just like, it's because of this weird situation. Like, they're trying to make the most bang for their buck. You know, they're hoping this thing would, you know, people would go to the movies and stuff. But it's like, we all love the movies. Like, all three of us, we love going to the movies, love the popcorn, love the experience. These movies are made for the theater. Like, this movie is made for the huge screen. And I don't know, like, if we take away that venue, like, I don't know if I want to go to the movies to watch Wonder Woman 84 on Christmas, like around Christmas time, like with all this, spend money on popcorn, all the good stuff, when I have HBO Max already. I can just stay home and like
you have a good home theater setup, you know, you could make your own popcorn or make your own snacks or whatever.
Watch it. Not even that, times.
Dude. Like, I'm gonna make like a nice dinner. Like, I can make a nice dinner and eat dinner in make front like of a burger my home.
Yeah,
my home just became Alamo Draft House in 2 seconds.
Exactly.
There you go.
You know,
a far cheaper Alamo Draft House, probably
for sure. For sure. But I don't know. Like it, I understand that like every movie that comes out is to make a profit at this point.
Yeah.
But with the circumstances, every movie is going to take a hit regardless of what's going on. Like, there's the way we look at it, every movie is going to take at least a small to a substantial hit because of the circumstance.
Yeah.
So at this point, I feel like a lot of these producing companies, a lot of these like movie companies, they should just bite the bullet, understand that, allocate funds and just release movies when they can, because they're going to at least bring in some financial benefits from these movies.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's true.
I just think I'm wholeheartedly thinking it should have been released sooner rather than later.
Yeah. I guess I'm just worried about how the theaters are going to do. Like, this was a huge movie that they were waiting for. Like, they needed something like this to stay alive, and it's just, this is further promoting, like, if the theaters are even gonna survive this, man.
Yeah.
Like, do we call it here? Like, are they dead now? Like, is this it? Like,
I wouldn't call it, but I think we talked about this before, where we're gonna see a lot like the generic like AMC, Cinemark stuff, Tinseltown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that stuff might not survive. It very well could not survive. But the more specialized stuff, like Alamo Draft House, where you go and you have dinner and stuff like that, and they have a full bar, you can just go to the bar, you know?
Yeah.
So you're seeing stuff like that could survive. But, like, the basic generic, you know, movie theater experience, it's hard.
That's actually kind of interesting. It's hard
to justify it.
Like, Alamo Draft House being like a bar primarily, but they have a theater. That'd be kind of interesting.
The one on the Alamo Draft House on like South Lamar. If you don't live in Austin, definitely go to that one. They have a bar. They have the movie theaters. Obviously, you can get food while you're watching the movie. And they also have a separate room where they have like live music events.
Oh,
and like and like concerts and like dance clubs and everything, and it's like off to the side. So you would go into like you would like a regular Alamo Draft House, pay for your ticket to get in there, and then just go there. And then so it works out so nice because people will now. What Alamo Draft House is doing great is now they're getting into several different outlets, and that's why I think Alamo Draft House will continue to succeed is because you go into Alamo Draft House, have a few drinks, go watch a movie. When you're done watching the movie, go have a few more drinks, then go into this dance club, and all of a sudden you're spending several hours at just one place, and it's just becoming such a convenient thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
yeah, but it sucks, right? Man. Yeah, like I like you said, like we all love the movie theater. I love walking down the aisle and seeing the posters and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it's just another one of those things that might be a casualty here shortly.
Yeah. I'm
thinking within like even if it does survive this, like within the next 5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if we watch Wonder Woman here at home, I'm thinking of still going to the movies and getting us like a big bag of like movie popcorn though, bringing it home. Because I saw some dudes doing that once, and I was just like, "Dang, that's like that's pro move right there."
I've done that once where I was hungry and I was like, "What do I want to eat?" And I was like, "I could always eat movie popcorn,
dude."
And so I went to the movie theater. I went in and just got popcorn. And I left.
Dude, the movie theater popcorn does hit differently. There's a movie theater near where I lived in Austin. It had hot Cheeto and Cheeto popcorn. So it basically just a regular theater popcorn. It would mix in Cheetos.
Nice. Or
hot Cheetos. I got the hot Cheetos one, dude.
I love Cheetos popcorn.
I got the small one, and it was so good.
Yeah. They give you like a 128-ounce drink, you know, for like $1.
Oh, you know,
maybe not like $1, but it's definitely overpriced. But I mean, it's 128. It's like a gallon.
Dude, yeah, dude. The
get that of like Cherry Coke or Fanta.
Mm. Oh, dude, yeah, Cherry Coke. The movie theater.
There we go.
Oh, dude, nice. The movie theater only has like two sizes of everything now, so they have like extra small and large.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and they have like the little kid size or the extra large.
Yeah,
and they always get you too because you're like, yeah, I'll just want a medium. You know, like I'm not that hungry, like, or whatever.
Oh, you don't have like, 5 extra cents.
Well, you can just make it a large for 10 cents more.
And it's like, why is the small only 25 cents less than the large now? Like, it's but I'm getting 3 times the amount of popcorn. This is getting kind of weird. It's getting kind of weird. Volume. Yeah. Dang. I don't know.
Scary. Like, it's super scary. I know AMC already like stated that they're probably gonna go bankrupt by like February or something like that. So
yeah,
like I guess we could like Tenet's been out long enough. We could see how Tenet did. We could look at the numbers,
right?
You know, and I'm pretty sure it didn't do like well.
It didn't. Yeah, it didn't do nearly what they wanted to do. And I mean, that's Christopher Nolan's like anticipated film of the year. And jeez, man, like it's just weird.
In normal circumstances that movie would have hit, I feel like.
It would have,
like, it just sucks.
I still haven't seen it, like I don't know, it just hasn't happened.
Super super random question, I guess more so for Tenet than anything. Don't you feel kind of like slightly like you're disrespecting someone if you watch the movie that was meant for theaters like Tenet from home?
That's what I'm that's what
like,
I'm saying.
I don't feel like I'm respecting Christopher Nolan enough if I watch it from home than I go in a theater. Like, I want him, it's a small number, it's one person saying this, but like, I feel like it's just more of a hit and more respectful if I were to go see the movie that he put all his time into to make in theaters rather than just ordering it from home.
Yeah.
I guess Tenet you couldn't watch at home, so maybe like Mulan. We'll say Mulan hypothetically. I know neither of us saw it, but let's say just Mulan hypothetically, like
that's why I feel like I'm obligated.
It depends on the film. Like if it was something like Mulan, I wouldn't care because it's Disney. But for something like Tenet, I guess I would, maybe feel that a little bit, but not like I wouldn't be like overwhelmed by it or like have it prevent me from doing like watching it from home.
Fair.
Like that's kind of what I'm feeling too with this Wonder Woman thing. I'm like, I feel like I should support the movie and the theater because I like the Wonder Woman series. I like what they're doing at DC right now, and I love going to the movies.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but the consumer in me is like, you know, things are rough right now for everyone. So it's like the consumer and the person that spends money in me is just like, you know, well, I already paid for this service. I have it here at home and I can just go get popcorn.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have to make it a big thing. Save gas money and all that good stuff, you know, dad mode a little bit, you know, it's like, you know, turn off the lights when you're not using them.
Exactly. You can wear
pajamas to my movie.
You can make a burger. You can drink as many beers as you want because they don't cost $10.
Yeah. Also, let's not forget, all three of us have furry friends that we can watch it with. I'm going to sit right there.
Wait, you're a furry?
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. No. Just kidding.
Is Andrew a furry?
Oh, dude, probably, dude.
Let me ask him.
Andrew's into anything, dude.
He's not even here. But you like, we can watch it with our dog too. Who doesn't want to have their dog in the movie theater, right?
Yeah, I mean the dogs join us for like everything we watch now. So they're
Archie,
pretty much
come
part
here,
of
come
crew.
Experience this fun with me, Archie.
I wonder if you could take your dog into the theater, like if it was a support dog. I'll have to ask Emily.
Support dogs, I'm pretty sure you can.
As long as they don't make noise and stuff, right?
As long as they don't make noise.
Yeah. I wouldn't risk it.
Dude, well, Odin, yeah, Odin would be crazy up in there.
Odin would go crazy. He would want to sniff everything. He's too curious. Like, he'll want to sniff everything, hump everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, try to eat everything. So
that's true.
We gave him his first French fry not too long ago.
How'd he handle it?
Oh, he loved it. We've created a monster.
Oh, yeah.
Wants more now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, every time you get fries now, he's just going to be there. Like, at
exactly.
Your feet. And
it's a rule, though. He gets one fry. You know, that's his little tax. But then he'll be a begging little monster. I'm just like, dude, no one likes you. I'm just like, you love him.
Yeah, fine. I know. That's so crazy because that's literally the conversation me and Emily have.
Yeah.
So after this, we are definitely going to jump on some Call of Duty. No, I'm just kidding.
I was fully serious about that.
For
I was ready.
Oh, yeah, okay, then yeah, fine. Yeah, we are definitely jumping on. So, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Cold War Black. Cold Black Ops War of Duty.
Okay.
It's just the longest title ever, dude. So,
it's a really. It's way too long.
Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
I can't wait for
no
the second and
or
third
anything
one.
Either, you know?
I just say COD. I just say COD at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
COD BOCD or CW.
COD fucked.
COD fucked too.
COD fucked.
So this is our game. Like we've been playing this game right now, and as people who have different systems, have different locations, it's kind of like a godsend right now because just with everything. Movies, media, gaming, everything is so on hold and we are not getting any content. Like we needed a game to come out so we could actually like do something new. And and that's what we've been doing lately. And it's been pretty cool.
It's been absolutely amazing. You guys remember how we were talking about how like the video game industry was taking away that kind of multiplayer, not the online multiplayer, but like the split screen multiplayer away from us since people had different consoles. I think this kind of brought it back a little bit because it's now super easy for us to play with each other on separate consoles.
The crossplay stuff, man.
I think that is the biggest save for them just because of the fact that like now I can play with someone who's playing on PlayStation or someone who's playing on Xbox. Like both of you have Xbox, I have a PC, so we're still all able to play together. We're on the mic too.
Yeah.
And everything, which by the way, can you guys please fix the mic for PC? I'm struggling. Anyways.
Yeah, what is up with that? That is crazy.
It's so weird. Yeah. But it's only PC issue. Like if it's a PS5 over Xbox, it's fine.
I think that's the only issue I have with it is the mic. But like this is bringing back that like feel that like we're all in the same living room. playing on the same console. Yeah.
Like we brought over
and
like
you
our
can
three
actually
TVs.
Split screen in this game. So like I've been trying to get Val to play. She won't luck. Play. I'm like, babe, this is the greatest de-stressor ever. Like
yeah.
just,
oh, yeah.
just. I mean, I know I'm yelling a lot of things, but I'm really enjoying it.
But I'm having a
I think
great
Odin
time.
Gets upset because I'm yelling and stuff, and he'll like come and like try to like cuddle on me and Aww. Stuff, and like try to calm me down.
Dude, Archie can tell when I'm like annoyed with something for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm playing on, so he'll be laying down, and then he'll walk by my desk, and he'll sit there and just
yeah.
look up at me until like I bring him up. So then he'll sit on my lap, and it actually is more calming. So maybe I am stressed when I play this game. Now that I think about it,
but yeah. it's a good stress.
It happens.
Yeah, it's a fun stress. It's not like
yeah.
a work
yeah.
stress.
It's a stress you want to put yourself through.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's fun, dude. It's fun to actually, like, I don't know. It, and it kind of brings back the days when we were playing, like, older COD games.
Yeah.
And
like
just,
Modern
like,
Warfare
grinding.
2 or 3. Yeah.
Didn't have, like, that many responsibilities. Like, we weren't, like, super working yet or anything.
Doritos yeah. and Mountain Dew.
Didn't have bills. Yeah. We can just buy all the Dorito and Mountain Dew. We didn't have savings accounts, you know? Like, like. Those were the days,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, no, it's a great game. I do have some gripes with it, though.
Yeah.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Okay, so number one, it's bringing back all the memories of like camping and stuff.
Oh my god, yes.
And there's one particular stage.
Oh, hold on, real quick. Explain what camping is.
Camping is where you sit in like a corner or something like that, and you just shoot stuff. And you don't move. You don't play any objective.
Yeah.
You just sit there and you camp. You pitch a tent.
Because when
you
enter a room, you're like looking for living human beings running in the
yeah.
room. And you're not looking at someone who's behind a box in a corner laying down with their
yeah.
with their gun aiming at you. And that's camping. And that it's, yeah.
Yeah. It's so dumb. I hate it. There's one particular you're on a stage and there's an airplane fuselage there and you're in there and you have to clear it, you know, if you're playing an objective based game, which I'm going to get into.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you play the objective and stuff and there's like four or five really good, like one of these spots you can check both ways, both entrances and stuff like that. And you just sit there and the character models are all kind of dark. So they all blend into the dark room and then you just get shot over and over and over and over again. My other big gripe is everyone's treating everything like Team Deathmatch.
Right.
Now, I, for one, do not like Team Deathmatch. I don't think there's any rhyme or reason. I'm just lollygagging, diddly-dopping until I run into somebody and die. Or run into somebody and kill them.
Diddle-daddling
you know?
Around the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but in like an objective-based, like last night, okay, so it's like, it's like midnight. I'm about to go to bed, but I'm going out with a win, you know?
Yeah.
And
can't end on a loss.
Exactly. And so we're playing a game mode called Domination where you have to control three objectives. And we control two of them and stuff. We're cruising.
Hmm.
I get sniped from across the stage.
Oh my god.
And this sniper guy is like nowhere near an objective or anything. And he wasn't defending an objective or anything. Cause I'm just running from a point that I control to another point that I control. And he shoots me. I was like, that's great. He's not playing the objective. He's not doing anything. And he's the reason why your team's losing. So play the objective.
Oh my God.
I want to play devil's advocate for a second here. In Call of Duty, it's always a team of six. Do you think every teammate has a role, maybe? Like, would you ever think that, like, hey, this person is strictly going to go out and just kill people just to disrupt their team momentum? This person and this person and this person are going to focus on objectives. This person is and this person are going to defend our main objective. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He would do that and set it up that way. But, I mean, like us three, like, we don't have it that way. We're pretty successful. Like, we have...
I mean, We're just very, very good at communication, I feel like. I feel like we're kind of an anomaly.
Like,
I've seen
we understand how to shift a role between offense and defense, or or taking and defending an objective, you know, like we have a really good sense of what to do with that situation.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could diversify your squad to be armed differently, like have a sniper, you know, that like if he's providing Overwatch or something like that, then that'd be a lot more acceptable. But this guy was just shooting from a corner of the map.
Oh yeah, yeah, no.
These, you know, like he wasn't doing anything productive. Randoms
you get in lobbies that are snipers, their sole purpose is to be annoying. Like all they do is sniper. Like in a perfect world, in a perfect team where we have us three and then three other people, like we'd be able to set up roles to where, you know, we have a sniper, Overwatch, make sure no one else goes down, disrupt the other team.
Yeah.
Two other people are on one objective. Two other people are on another objective. The last person is defending our main objective. You know, like in a perfect world, that would be ideal. But because we are playing with the people we play with, they're just randoms.
Yeah.
They all really just love to.
It's like we just
promote chaos.
It's like we adapt to like the way they're playing. You know, like we adapt to what they're doing, and they were like, okay, like we do it on the fly, and that's our strategy instead of like actually all working together.
Yeah, but I've been really enjoying it. Like I've stepped away from Call of Duty ever since Black Ops, the first one. Never tried to play. I heard, you know, like Advanced Warfare and the Future Warfare, whatever, like got really bad reviews, stuff like that. And it was pretty much like a copy paste of it's kind of like the FIFA and Madden thing, where they're just copy pasting and just adding one or two new feature or whatever. But like this is like a callback to, you know, like that original fun gameplay, and the map designs are really great.
Yeah,
it's not just like a left, right, center type thing. Like there are elements to stages that you can exploit. There are passageways and stuff that you can look at. You know, so being on offense or defense, like you have creative ways to use that space instead of just take the left point, take the right point, and two guys take the center point. You know.
Yeah. True.
So I've really been enjoying that. There is a stage that I don't quite like, but everyone seems to like, which is Sahara or whatever, the desert map.
Oh, I love that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like a lot of people love that one, and I can see why, but it's just not my style. But I think that's why. Like, it's not like a bad map design, but it's just not my style, because it kind of forces you to play a more long range type game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blind spots. There's like a crap ton of blind spots. You don't know where they're coming from.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
The spawn flips like every 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing, too. Like, that's just something you got to have to live with.
Yeah.
Is the spawning issues. Like, I think Titanfall had the... Not Titanfall. What was the one that you could spawn directly on? Battlefield.
Right.
Battlefield 3 and 4, like, if you get assigned into a squad... multiplayer, you can spawn on your squad mate. And I think that's the best way to handle a respawn situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Because this way, like they're already starting to do spawn camping. The game's been out a week.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're playing...
I haven't done that, though, before. Like, if I know they're going to spawn at a point, I'm going to be like, let me roll up and just mess with them before they do it to me.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like in Domination, where you're controlling A, B, and C, if you go... If you have C and B or whatever, and you're going all the way over to A, the server then just flips the spawn. So you got all this work to capture A, you know, and now you're putting a lot of pressure on the opponent. Then it just tells itself, okay, you know, blue team's here spawning at A, and then C team's now spawning over at C. Yeah. So. It flips the spawn, so all that hard work of capturing the end objectives is almost pointless.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't communicate with other people like, hey, defend, you know, while we're going to go take this other point and keep the pressure on. So that's like my biggest gripes with it, but I've liked...
Fair enough.
I liked what they've done so far. I don't like that everyone uses an MP5. I'm glad they nerfed it.
Yeah.
I know, I'm glad it got nerfed because it was becoming annoying.
Yeah,
dude, I'm glad I switched to the FR.
Yeah, I like the FR, the FAMAS type gun. I like that one. The XM4 is really good. I enjoyed that one a lot.
The AK-47 isn't bad either.
It's not bad if you can get it set up correct.
Yeah,
its recoil and its accuracy are really bad.
Right.
But there are ways to set up and make that gun like really, really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's overall good, and they brought back a campaign, and these campaigns force you to make decisions, and these are like some ethical moral dilemma decisions, and I like that a lot. Nice. I haven't gotten too far in the campaign, but I've already like been forced to make certain decisions, and I'm like, all right, I see what you're doing.
He was like, I
haven't even played the campaign yet. Yeah.
It's good. It's good so far. I've done two stages, and it's good so far.
Nice. Cool. Well, we're also coming up on Thanksgiving, and it's pre-Thanksgiving.
Greatest American holiday outside of the 4th of July.
I mean, I'm not even – we were at HEB, and we're like, oh, I was like, oh, man, like, we probably should get our stuff now if we want, because like this week it's just gonna be crazy. People at HEB, it's just gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
And we were just like, and then we saw these little like pre-made HEB things where they make you stuffing, and they're like $9. And they're like little like trays that you put into the oven.
Oh, heard.
Like stuffing, mashed potatoes. Yeah. What's the other thing?
Turkey.
No, they didn't have any turkey or ham ones, but they had like another classic. Oh, green bean casserole. Green bean casserole thing. Just put it in the oven. And
there you go.
I almost bought it. Almost.
Just what to like be the top, lazy. What are y'all's top 3 to 5 dishes for Thanksgiving? What do y'all look forward to the most?
Mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, and pumpkin pie.
I like those.
Pumpkin pie, definitely. Pumpkin pie.
Uh-huh.
You know, honestly, I'm not even a big like turkey person. I don't know. Like there was one time where like turkey's good. It's just not like the best part of the, like, I think it's a lot of work for like really like low payoff in my opinion. And there was one time where Tammy and Rocky, Emily's mom and stepdad, came up to Austin and cooked for us, and they cooked the turkey. And it tasted like ham, but it was turkey. And I was like, dang, that was the best turkey I ever had.
Yeah. Heard.
Because it was like flavorful. It was good. Like I could eat more of that. But I think I might like lean towards like that ham. Anyways, stuffing.
Thanksgiving ham is the best. The thing with turkey is it's a high risk, low reward sort of thing whenever you're cooking it. Because it takes so much time.
You can dry it out real easy. You can dry it out real easy.
It's like a lot of
It takes a lot of time, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
What me and Val are doing. So my top three are definitely pumpkin pie, number one.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go creamed corn. I love creamed corn.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely.
And I found a recipe that I love making. It's easy. It's quick. And then mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah. Anything with
gravy on
it, too.
Not cream gravy.
Oh,
brown gravy is for Thanksgiving. Cream gravy is for stuff. Like chicken fried steak.
Yeah, I was about to say cream gravy is for like
and biscuits.
Like biscuits, chicken fried steak, that sort of stuff.
Brown gravy is for mashed potatoes, turkey, and whatever else you want to use.
I pour that on everything. Dude. Stuffing, the dinner rolls, you know, whatever I have. It's all there. What me and Val are gonna do, so it's really just gonna be us, and she's working that day, so it'll really just be me. So I got some recipes from my family, and what we decided to do is we're going to do like the sliced turkey from the deli market.
Nice.
We're just going to go there and have them cut up some turkey, you know, like some like boar's head or whatever, like whatever flavor we want. And HGB used to have this like Cajun spice rubbed turkey, and we used to get slices of that stuff. And that stuff was really good. So we're not going to like sit down and like cook a turkey, because it's not going to be like one small enough for us. So we're going to do that.
I think that's a good
idea.
Sports
about
and
one
gravy
of those little,
on
like, I think Cornish game hens.
Cornish
or whatever.
Game hens. I joked with her about that. She had no clue what I was talking about.
I have no idea what that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Legit, just a small version of a turkey, and they sell them at HEB. They're super small.
Yeah. They're like a couple pounds. You know, they're like a quail type thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a safe way to go. Just get some like sliced turkey and pour some gravy on it.
But my favorite thing is like I'm gonna sit down and master this pumpkin pie recipe.
Ooh,
so
good luck.
I can't wait for that. And then I have and then we were discussing like what side, so we're just gonna do like we're just gonna pick a side, and then I'll make all that stuff, you know. So I'm excited for it. This is probably like my second favorite holiday because the family comes over, you see them, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great American tradition. You know, we're there to be thankful, and then that night go out and pester people about not being thankful not for being what we thankful. Have.
Give me that TV.
PS5.
I think that's the only thing I like dislike about Thanksgiving is that it's so brief and it's so quick that people will quickly move on to Black Friday and go from being thankful and being blessed that they have what they have or they're able to enjoy a nice meal. That they instantly go from loving one another to like, I'm about to beat the brakes.
And this year has been so exaggerated, man. Like at work, they got the Christmas tree up already. They we're skipping Thanksgiving. Like we have already skipped Thanksgiving. Like Black Friday sales are started November 1st. This Thanksgiving just does not feel.
Yeah, because of this year, the economic turmoil that we're in, right? And we need to put capital back into the economy, you know. Yeah. And so that's why they're doing all that stuff. I like the period of reflection of the year, the thankful for what I have, that sort of stuff. Like that's what I love most about Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. And it's gonna be me and Val's first. Is it gonna be our first Thanksgiving together? I don't think so. I think last year was our first Thanksgiving.
Well, it's gonna be our first married.
One married. Yeah. It's gonna be our first one married. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's a big deal.
Y'all blasted this big long.
It'll only set the standard for every Thanksgiving ever to come.
So. Right.
That is true. So set the bar real low so that way every Thanksgiving after this just goes up.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, is COVID it's getting rid of a bunch of stuff. It's changing up our life. Is it getting rid of the holiday to be thankful and stuff? You know, like we're skipping over it. We gotta be like Elijah.
I think it's forcing us to rush into the Christmas holiday a lot more quicker than we usually do because we already do it quick. Yeah. But I think now it's kind of just because for Thanksgiving. You can't really have these huge gatherings. So if people are assuming since I can't have these huge gatherings, Thanksgiving in my family is basically canceled. So I'm gonna rush to the next biggest holiday and prepare for Christmas. And I think that's what COVID is doing. But I don't, again, this is where people are kind of losing that whole understanding to where it's not meant to be this huge family gathering. If you can't gather with your family, at least be thankful you can still speak with them or be thankful you can still enjoy
or
a nice
just do what we're my family just setting up a big ginormous Zoom meeting, you know.
Oh, nice.
Zoom is the thing. We can do Zoom, you know.
Yeah. And
we gotta have that Thanksgiving spirit, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like they gotta yeah, like that's the whole point, you know. Like you look at the history of Thanksgiving, it's great. Like whenever because it first came about because America was in 1863, you know, just before A1 steak sauce came out. Because that's what the country needed at the time, really, was just a really good steak sauce.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln was like, hey, we're killing each other. Let's be thankful that we're even alive and we can, you know, do whatever we want, you know. So, the whole, that sort of tradition is always great. There's a really good history, Peak History Channel documentary about Thanksgiving. I recommend that's from, 2000 or something like that. It's really good.
Nice.
A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. You know, you got to watch that.
Yeah, I was about to say, how have you not mentioned it before? You love Charlie Brown.
I know. Well, because Apple TV's ruining it.
Wait, what? What do you mean?
Apple TV bought the rights to, all the Charlie Brown, film properties. Oh, so, really? No way to, ABC and CBS used to air them every year, and now they're not getting aired.
What the heck?
You have to go to Apple TV to do it, to watch them, which is dumb.
Oh, that's ridiculous,
that's,
dude.
The best thing about it.
That's what I'm saying. And then, but I do like the football for Thanksgiving. You got some really garbage teams in the Redskins and a really depleted, sad roster, the Cowboys. So, they're going.
Leave my Cowboys alone.
I will never leave them. and then Detroit always plays on New Year's. I forgot who they're playing, but the Cowboys in Detroit always play on New Year's Day, you know. So we used to have the greatest rivalry in sports, A&M and Texas.
Mm.
That used to be played on Thanksgiving Day. So
that's true.
That's not a thing anymore. Make it a thing.
Let's make it a
Texas,
thing.
Texas, you cowards.
Was it NBA? I mean, NBA is starting in December now, but yeah, there used to be an NBA game too on Thanksgiving, I think.
Yeah,
no, Christmas
is a big NBA thing. Yeah. But college football does, or college basketball, and I'm probably like the only person left on this planet that'll even like follow college basketball. Because that talent pool's disgustingly gross and one and done true in the sport.
That starts
next Wednesday, and it sucks because I work Wednesday, but like the Big Ten Network's gonna have 12 hours of college basketball, and I can't wait.
Oh jeez.
So,
dude, thank the G League, dude. The G League is doing it right, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, G League's great. Every professional sport needs to copy what the NBA is doing with the G League.
GG League.
Well, I mean, soccer has the best. Soccer has like the best way of going about finding like youth talent. But in America,
I was about to say, basketball is doing the best with all those AAU and all that stuff. Yeah,
because now they have an option, and they also not only are getting paid for joining the G League, they're also getting like actual NBA coaching.
Yeah,
like the preparedness is going to be a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, they should definitely do that. But they should also get rid of the one and done rule. Make them stay. imagine if football players got out one and done. They would get killed.
They'd get rocked, dude. No, football's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Football's a completely different beast. I would
argue you turn 18, go pursue something that you want to do. You know, like no one gripes about the 16-year-old that drops out and goes plays tennis, you know. Or the golf person that drops out and goes play golf, you know. But they complain about basketball. They need to go. No. If you're Kobe Bryant level 18-year-old, go play basketball and get paid.
Yeah.
You're only gonna have a 10-15 year revenue stream anyways.
Well, that's just like standard. Like if you're smarter than that and create like avenues like Kobe, yeah. LeBron, Jordan, like
yeah, create a brand or something like that. And if you're really good, you kind of get brand recognition, you know, sign stuff like Adidas. Anyways, but yeah, no, I'm excited for Thanksgiving. You know, it's our first one being married, and I can't wait. I think everyone needs to appreciate what we're thankful for this year, especially this year, given all our turmoil and stuff. Like, it's definitely a time to sit down
and breathe,
relax. Breathe. Get that trip to Japan in your system.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Heard.
So.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I'm glad y'all chose pumpkin pie over pecan pie.
Oh, dude.
Pecan pie is good, but pumpkin pie is just way, way better, dude.
It's a go-to.
How much Cool Whip do y'all put on?
Cool Whip.
Oh, a lot.
Are y'all Cool Whip fans?
Not a lot. I don't put a lot because I don't want it to take away from the flavor of the pumpkin pie. I do chocolate Cool Whip, though.
What? Ooh. That's cool.
Chocolate and pumpkin slowly becoming a thing.
I've never heard of that. What?
It's good.
I don't want to see my pumpkin pie slice. That's how much that's how much Cool Whip goes on it.
There we go.
I used to put it on and then I'd like get like spread it on the sides and make sure like it was kind of...
You want Cool Whip with a side of pumpkin pie?
Yeah, exactly.
it's just a great excuse to go excessively heavy with Cool Whip, you know?
Right, right.
Like, this is Cool Whip's time to shine. When else are you ever going to eat it? You know?
That's so true.
I wonder if, like, the CEO for Cool Whip is just like, all right, guys, it's our time to go. Let's do it.
Yeah. Probably, dude. This is, like, their moment in time to... like really make it happen.
What do y'all do with the leftovers? Like say like it's Friday, you're in the weekend. What
sandwich.
Do you do with the leftovers? Sandwiches?
Okay. I mean a loaded Thanksgiving sandwich. I'll put turkey, cheese, stuffings, a little bit of gravy instead of like mayonnaise and mustard.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of cranberry sauce depending on if I want that sweetness into it. And some jalapenos.
Ooh.
Okay. That's my thing. Okay, what is y'all stances on cranberry sauce?
Mm-mm.
I have to be in the mood for it.
Uh-huh.
I really have to be in the mood for it. The thing is when I'm eating like dinner, I don't want any, I don't like having sweet foods because then I just think, why not just save it for dessert?
Yeah.
So like if it's like that salty, savory sort of thing, let's do it. But cranberry sauce, it's a hit or miss.
Yeah. I'm not a big cranberry sauce fan. I feel like I should try it this year. I've never really given it a shot, but
I've never tried it. Never been a fan.
It's not bad.
I'm not a fan of cranberries in general. Like the cran juice and all that stuff. Like that guy that drinks it with that song and now he's like a millionaire.
It's primarily for the turkey. And I'm like, dude, I got gravy. I got gravy. I don't need anything else, man. I'm good.
The thing is like most of the time I get my cranberry sauce from the can. I don't like ever like make it. Whenever it's like coming out of the can, it's a bit of a turnoff.
Like the can shape or whatever.
Yeah, and it makes that like noise as it's coming out, you know, that little like slurp noise. So that sometimes like sometimes that'll turn me off and I'll be like, you know what? I'll put it back in the can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, leftover turkey sandwiches are like the way to go.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What I'll do, if I have leftover like dinner rolls, I'll open that up and use that as the bread. Toast that up real quick. Slices of turkey, stuffing, gravy, cheese, whatever. Maybe a fried egg if I'm feeling real adventurous.
Ooh, that sounds good, dude.
Fried egg makes everything better.
Add bacon, Whataburger sausage, dude. A loaded sandwich, dude. I might do that this year.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, like we hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. We want to hear all about it next week on Saturday. We're going to be back here again on Saturday. Yeah. I think we are. Yeah, we'll be back here on Saturday. And we will tell you everything we did.
Then we can officially start
Christmas. Yeah, officially.
After Thanksgiving, yeah. But did we have any final church announcements? Daniel had some things. No.
I think we're good. It just like Cover we got it. A new Facebook page. Reach out to us.
Archie,
give us ideas for what y'all want to hear, what y'all want to see. You know, and we're open to pretty much anything. There's Archie. There he is.
Send in some articles. Attach articles, and we'll talk about it. You know.
Yeah.
That was Archie telling you guys that, not me. But
Archie's streaming, dude.
Yeah, I decided to bring him in real quick. He was also crying, so I had to put him in my lap to, you know, get him to not cry.
Of course.
He looks like he's having fun.
So anyways, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for subscribing. Be sure to share our Facebook group, our Twitter page with your friends, families, dogs. But yeah, this has been another episode of the Thought Arcade. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Hey.
This podcast, please leave a positive review and follow us for future episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at ThoughtArcade1 and on Instagram at ThoughtArcade. Thank you for listening and go be great.